This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in. Hour two, we're presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Mike Pritchard, of course, our NFL insider, VSiN host, NFL vet, sitting in for Michael Lombardi. Michael will be back on Wednesday. You got a Monday night tilt to close out week three. You've got the Giants laying one. Okay, so this total open 40 down to 39. Be very interesting with the division rivals coming up tonight, Pritch. But before we get to that game, we've got plenty of time to dissect it. Let's get to some very key injuries. And we do have breaking news coming in right now. Tom Pelissero, of course, NFL Network, reporting the Chargers, who got killed yesterday by Jacksonville. Their left tackle, Rashawn Slater, suffered a ruptured bicep tendon. He's going to miss the rest of the 2022 season. This is blindside for Herbert. This is huge news for the Chargers moving forward.
Yeah, Patrick, it's a big blow right there, too, because, I mean, I don't know what your contingency is when your left tackle goes down. We know about Justin Herbert and the rib situation already on that left side too. So it's a blindside situation. And then on top of that, the Chargers are trying to run the football and they can't. So they're one-dimensional too. And now they just lose their franchise left tackle. And that's a franchise position. Like quarterback, we know about that. Wide receiver, we're being made aware that that's a franchise position now. But certainly left tackle is a franchise position too, considering what teams have built on the other side with pass rushers, edge rushers, and drafting those guys. So it's a big blow. There's not left tackles out there floating around that you can just pick up. So we'll see how the Chargers can adjust with this news here.
Let me just say this about the Chargers and for bettors moving forward. Bettors beware.
Yeah.
Again, this was a hot team coming into the season, mm-hmm. but I say bettors beware for a couple of reasons. One, the Jags offense embarrassed that Chargers defense yesterday. Two, Staley could have pulled Herbert out of the game early, but he didn't. He left the quarterback in to get beat until the end of the game. It made no sense. It just absolutely belied any common sense. And then I saw Austin Eckler here in Los Angeles on local TV last night, mm-hmm. and he seemed frustrated with his role in that offense. We are also, Pritch, hearing leaks that maybe the players aren't buying into the coaching staff's messaging with the Chargers here sitting 1-1.
Right, and it goes to credibility. I mention that all the time. And, you know, they called Staley a genius, and, you know, they gave him all these accolades, but he hasn't won a playoff game. He hasn't been to the playoffs. And he's changed his philosophy a little bit this year in coaching style, but it all remains the same. It's all about credibility, and I think – the defense, when you have that many great players on that side of the ball, do you really have to be that complicated, Patrick? You don't. I mean, Jacksonville went up Correct. And down the field. I mean, 38 points for an upstart team. I mean, Trevor Lawrence essentially is in his rookie year, but it didn't look like it. You know, and that's supposed to be one of the strong suits of this team, or acumen, certainly for Staley, the head coach, is that defense is supposed to be okay. Now, Bosa goes down. Okay, I get it. But you still have Mac. You still have all these other great players. But it looks like it's complicated a lot of times. They're not making plays when they have an opportunity to. I mean, meaning turning the ball over, getting an INT, an interception, and helping out that way. But now with the offensive struggles and seemingly some confidence being lost as well on that side of the ball. Again, one-dimensional. You can't be one-dimensional in the National Football League and certainly expect to do great things like everybody had you doing this year. So, they have to fix it. They have to correct it. But yet, here we are in a regular season now and a tough situation for the Chargers because of the injuries and what's going on with that football team.
And we've got our graphic corrected correction. The Chargers 1-2. My apologies. The Chargers traveled to Houston. That mm-hmm. number opened Chargers lane 7 on the road. Has been bet Houston's way. You're seeing a couple of 5.5s and some sixes, that key number of 6. Remember, key numbers, you go 3, 6, 7 when you're talking NFL betting, and then you move on from there. Let's talk other key injuries affecting the market. This one's big, and you can discern the difference between an ankle sprain and a high ankle sprain for us, Pritch, because you probably had both of them. Mac Jones is getting a second opinion, but he suffered a pretty severe high ankle sprain in the loss yesterday to the Ravens, the Patriot quarterback.
Right. You know, those high ankle sprains, they're tough because you just don't get the blood flow necessary a lot of times to help heal that injury or help the healing process of that injury. You know, a lower ankle sprain, normally on the inside of your ankle there, you know, you can get some blood flow to help out. But the high ankle sprain is just a difficult, difficult situation. We see basketball players do that all the time. They'll twist their ankle, but it's not that high ankle. It's that low situation. Tape it up. You can keep it structured. You can keep it fixed, if you will. You can have a brace kind of tape job on it to help you out. And then certainly modern medicine can help you out with some pain too. But the high ankle sprain is different. You know, you got some ligaments that you got to certainly get healed up there. So, that one, the timetable on those are always tricky, but it's certainly not an immediate return a lot of times.
The Patriots 1-2 kind of got decimated in the second half. Mm-hmm. Of course, Jones threw three picks right against the Ravens. They head to Lambeau next week, okay? We've got TBD on the board as far as the quarterback. Question for you. Right now, Green Bay open 6. They've been bet all the way up the doubles. Mm. Some shops showing them laying 11. That is indicative of the Mac Jones injury. We could see Hoyer here. Do you think we see Jones next Sunday?
I don't think we see Jones next Sunday, to be honest with you. He wasn't playing that great anyway. I see the line getting bet up too, but I mean, who knows if what would have happened. I know the injury could affect that situation, but you got Hoyer, who was a long-time backup quarterback, and but you have a Patriots offense that's still struggling, though. You know, Mac Jones is doing some things that you wouldn't want to see in year two. You're supposed to have a leap year right now at quarterback, but because of the struggles, there's no leap at all for Mac Jones. At times, he looks pretty good, decent, but other times, he looks horrible. So I don't know what New England can do. I know they want to run the football. Same thing with Green Bay. Looking at the total 42 there, that gets interesting because Green Bay, we saw them last night. They have to run the football a little bit better than that. That was tough to run the ball against Tampa Bay, though. But against New England at home, I would expect Green Bay to try to run the football a little bit more just to open up some of the condensed nature of that playbook.
Okay, finally on the injuries affecting the market, you're going to have a Monday night tilt next week. The Rams at San Francisco. The best left tackle in football is Trent Williams. Mm-hmm. He protects the blind side of Jimmy G now. High ankle sprain for him. This is a tremendous athlete. But again, that's a very troubling injury for the left tackle there with San Francisco.
Right, because I think bettors need to think of a left tackle like this, like a defensive back, you know, and you can equate what a defensive back does on the National Football League to a left tackle, the type of athlete that you have over there too, and trying to go up against the Von Millers of the world and things like that. So when you're losing somebody of that caliber, that's a drop-off. You just don't replace that type of player immediately. I think the Rams are going through some issues with their offensive line from last year, winning a Super Bowl. And, okay, you got guys stepping in now, but it's been inconsistent. You know, Stafford's been throwing a lot of picks too. We'll see how the San Francisco 49ers can adjust again, because they've adjusted from Lance in that playbook to Jimmy G in his playbook, and now you're going to have to adjust the playbook without your great left tackle there.
Okay, Pritch, let's transition and talk about a team for the market and moving forward for bettors, and that is the Las Vegas Raiders. They're sitting 0-3, Josh McDaniels' first year. Remember, this was with an interim head coach, a playoff team from last year. There were rumblings that Mark Davis there at Carolina had a closed-door meeting with Josh McDaniels after the loss. The losses, you know, there's three of them. They've come by a combined 13 points. So this is interesting because, again, Devontae Adams, I think he had, 36 to 40 receiving yards yesterday. That's not enough. Mm-hmm. 1 of 12 on third down for the Raiders. That ain't good. What's your take? You do cover the Raiders locally there in Vegas. What's your take on this 0-3 start?
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising, to be honest with you, because I think everything was supposed to be an upgrade. You know, Josh McDaniels, the coaching staff, everything's supposed to be an upgrade over an interim coaching situation. But yet the Raiders made the playoffs last year. Nobody anticipated them starting 0-3 this year. But the Raiders, and how I'll sum up their season so far, is they've won quarters, Patrick, but they haven't won games. So they can easily win three games here, these situations against the Chargers, against the Cardinals, and then on the road against the Titans. But they're not making enough plays. I go back to what I said beginning of the show. When the opportunity presents itself, you have to make the plays. You have to. You have no other choice. And then when your big money players don't make big money plays, now you have a problem. So Darren Waller wanted a contract. He faked the whole hamstring situation. He fired an agent, got a new contract, but he's dropping touchdowns. You can't do that. Hunter Renfrow, we saw him fumble the ball away in a critical situation. He got a new contract. Chandler Jones has a reduction in his snap counts this game, and he got a big contract, right? And so your big money players have to live up to that moniker and also make the big money plays at times to help you win games. And the Raiders they have not had that consistent contribution from those key guys.
The Raiders have never finished above 500 when starting 0-3. That's where they sit. The offense, okay, inconsistent, took a little while to get going yesterday, but the defense completely imploded.
Right.
Those that were evaluating the Raiders coming into the year, we may have overrated this defense a little bit. It's not very good.
No, it's not. It's a new system, too. And then you're losing or you're missing Perryman, your linebacker. The guy has resurrected his career, if you will, with the Raiders. And then on the back end, your high draft choice, Trayvon Merrick, the safety, he was out too. So they are lost. They're a work in progress defensively, Patrick.
Okay, Pritch, when we come back, let's dive into Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. It looks like Dalton Schultz isn't going to play the tight end. Of course, they continue to miss the Cowboys, Michael Gallup. So those two most likely out. It's a game time decision for Schultz, who's a tough kid. But right now, it looks like he's going to be out. Again, you've got this surprising 2-0 Giants, a one-point favorite. When we come back, we'll get Pritch's take on Monday Night Football to close out Week 3. It's the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, what do you get when you become a VSiN pro? Everything through the Super Bowl for $175. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. So again, you get the pro tools. Look, for me, it's worth signing up just for the pro tools because you get the betting splits. And we talk about where the money's going. That's very important, and that's part of the pro tools. Again, you get pro picks. At a glance, we archive all the pro tips. You get Michael Lombardi's exclusive content. You get Point Spread weekly every Wednesday. You get the NFL and college football betting guides. It really is an awesome deal. And the early returns from VSiN pros, they're very happy. Why? They're making money. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we're back. He is Mike Pritchard. Hanging out at Circa. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. This is the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi will be back on Wednesday. Of course, this is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It does feel like the NFL shoves early in the season. It used to be the Giants and Cowboys to kick off the year on Sunday night. It does feel like we get this matchup all the time. Here's what I will tell you. The Giants are laying a point, and again, they've been one of the surprises at 2-0, but I think it's since 17. Prescott, first off, is a perfect 9-0 against the Giants. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys in their last 10, I believe, is it 8-2? No, it might be 9-1. And that one win coming at the end of the 2020 season against Andy Dalton for the Giants. So there's been dominance on the Cowboys side. However, we take a look, and of course, the Cowboys with Cooper Rush, who, by the way, is 2-0 straight up and 2-0 ATS as a starter for the Cowboys, they're catching a point here, and we've got a low total, Pritch, of 39. What do you got on this one?
Well, first of all, I mean, if Cooper Rush was a world beater, why aren't other teams clamoring for Cooper Rush, right? And the Cowboys released him. I think the Cowboys rallied behind the situation last week, and Jerry Jones allowed that to happen. I mean, the roster for the Dallas Cowboys is the reason why they might have been a playoff favorite, a divisional favorite, and who knows, could contend in the NFC. But when you lose a quarterback like Dak and you have rallying as a weapon at home, what are you going to do on the road now? This is Cooper Rush on the road in a starting situation this way. So that gets downgraded for me against the divisional foe, a team that has structure to their coaching. They know what they're doing now out there in New York, Patrick, as opposed to what they didn't know what to do last year or previous years, certainly. But they're still devoid of talent, too, and consistency at their key position at quarterback up there with Daniel Jones. But they found a running game. Saquon Barkley is a monster. He's a beast. He's very, very effective. And if you're one-dimensional, if that's all you can do Can you be successful for 60 minutes against the Cowboys defense that way? It's an interesting matchup. I understand the total. It could be one of those ugly, ugly games too. I couldn't come to a decision point knowing that we have two suspect teams here trying to piece everything together to hold their season together, if you will.
So the tickets right now, as far as majority on the Giants, mm-hmm. but Dallas catching the money. So we've seen the number, which opened at most shops, the Giants laying 3. We've seen that number come the Cowboys' way. Of course, now they're just catching a point, the Giants laying a point. You mentioned the total, 40 down to 39. I will say this, Saquon's getting a ton of love. Saquon Barkley looks like the Saquon Barkley from his rookie year, right?
Right.
He's plus 600 to score the first touchdown tonight. His receiving prop over at DraftKings is 22.5. His rush prop is 78.5 over at DraftKings right now on Saquon. I've got one for you, and that's CeeDee Lamb. I'm going to go over. You can find 50.5 up to 51.5. He had 52 or more yards in 10 of 16 regular season games last year.
Right.
That includes 112 yards on 6 catches from 8 targets against Minnesota in week 8. So again, that was Rush's first start. I give you that game to give you, there is some data that backs up Rush and Lamb having a connection. I think 51.5 is a little low on the receiving prop.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I mean, he's the number one receiver, and you look, it's Monday Night Football. You're not, if you're Dallas, you got to mix it up. CeeDee Lamb has to be a focal point of that offense too. And is Cooper Rush capable of executing portions of your playbook? Yes, he is. That's why he's a backup quarterback. But and it's against the Giants too. I mean, we're not talking about the playoffs here. We're talking about the third regular season game where a lot of people are working through some issues. You know, it gets interesting too when you look at Saquon Barkley and his numbers. If you talk to Mark Schlereth, if you talk to a really good analyst out there, offensive linemen that are analysts now too, and the notion that you can't run the football against 8-man boxes frustrates them, especially in today's NFL when it's a nickel defense out there majority of the time anyway. So it's a lighter box. So you should be able to, with 5 offensive linemen, a tight end, a fullback, or whatever, however the mix is going to be, even angle blocks with wide receivers, you should be able to create leverage situations, double-team situations, and still run the ball when the box is loaded that way. So I think the Giants will try to do that. We've seen Cleveland adopt that and use it and be one-dimensional and be effective that way too. So if that's all Daboll has right now, that's what he has to go with, Patrick. So Daniel Jones as a run option is there too, but the focal point certainly will be on Saquon tonight.
Micah Parsons is a superstar, so that's part of getting pressure. But how about the other side? Can Cooper Rush handle the pressure? He's going to have to, because Wink Martindale and the Giants are blitzing at the third highest rate in the league. So they're getting pressure. They're going to bring heat on Rush. Can your boy Rush hang in there?
I think so, if he has a tight end and running backs that can help him out.
Well, that's a problem, because right. Dalton Schultz, who it looks like he's not going to play tonight. Of course, we know Gallup is out, but it looks like Schultz is going to miss the game as well.
Yeah, which is key. I mean, Dalton Schultz coming out of, I believe it was Stanford years ago, just following him, I thought he was perfect for what the Dallas Cowboys wanted to do with that system. Yeah, if he's unable to go, that's a big blow. That is a big blow, because I think what you do to combat the blitz a lot of times, a lot of people will have the philosophy, Patrick, of trying to protect and hold up against the blitz, but then other people will like, okay, we'll invite the blitz and we'll take advantage of the fact that you avoid areas of your defense and you're vulnerable. So it depends on the philosophy. I think Kellen Moore, he's searching for that philosophy or rhythm, if you will, hasn't established it. I think it'll be high percentage looks and high percentage opportunities for Cooper Rush against that blitz, though. So he needs a tight end, and he certainly needs some running back help as well.
Okay, this is super cheesy because there is no quarterback controversy in Dallas, but Jerry Jones likes to clown. So here's Jerry Jones clowning about the quarterback position.
So you'd want that? You'd want that controversy?
Of course I would.
Okay.
Of course that means we'd won. If he comes in here and played as well as Prescott played, Rush played that well over these next games ahead, I'd walk New York to get there.
Do you think he can do that?
Well, I don't know that, but I would. You can't find on record where I said I thought Dak Prescott could do it when he stepped in and had the chance to do that, but he did it.
So that's Jerry Jones just fooling, talking about the quarterback position.
Uh-huh.
Here's one thing. I don't think he made any sense there. Like, did we just go through the matrix? I don't even know what he was talking about. I think he was saying he hopes Cooper Rush plays well, tongue in cheek, talking about potentially being there a quarterback competition. Let's be very clear. There is no quarterback competition. When Dak's back, he's back.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the contracts. I mean, you're doing your job as a reporter. I get it. You're going to ask that question. And then Jerry Jones is probably going to give you that type of answer because you asked that question. I mean, come on. It's crazy to think about that, right? What Dak went through to get the contract that he received finally is very, very interesting. And now you're going to say Cooper Rush or suggest that or even ask that question. Yeah, I mean, I think that question deserved that type of answer from Jerry Jones, to be honest with you.
I like the under here, Pritch. Again, okay. We've talked about the unders cashing at a ridiculous clip this year, 29-17 and one to the under. I think both defenses are going to pressure the quarterback. This is, to me, has under, again, open 40 down to 39. We're starting to see a ton of games in the 30s now, which we haven't seen for a couple of years, but 39 on the total here. I do like the under tonight.
Yeah, you know, Patrick, not a bad play right there. I couldn't come to a decision point on it because, again, they're two suspect teams. I thought highly of Dallas. I'm reorganizing and restructuring my thought process that way against Cowboys as we speak, though, Patrick. But from a roster standpoint, it is a roster that you can back at times. You know, this is a situation for me on the road with a quarterback and the division that I just can't get behind right there. And then on the other side, Daniel Jones hasn't done anything significant. I mean, I alluded to this on Pro Football Blitz last night, about Jimmy Garoppolo having a chance on national TV to put a thought process in the mind of a GM out there that might want him to be their quarterback next year. But he failed, right? And so if you're Daniel Jones, you're in the same situation. You have a chance to put a thought process and a GM out there on Monday night. Can you raise the level of your play? And we have not seen that yet from Daniel Jones, and I'm not anticipating seeing that tonight either.
I'm going to clean up my numbers here. Dallas has dominated this NFC East series since 16, going 9-3 straight up, 8-3-1 ATS versus New York. Dak's dominance. Mm-hmm. Will it be 3-for-3 for Cooper Rush as the starter there with the Cowboys? Again, I'm going to go over the 51.5 on the CeeDee Lamb receiving prop as well. A little synergy with Pritch's boy, Cooper Rush. Shall be interesting for John Goulet, who is going to sweat his Cowboys, even though he grew up basically on another continent from Texas. We're back with Will Hill next here at Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Start of the NHL season, but we've got you covered here at VSiN with the VSiN NHL Season Prep Guide. All 32 teams previews, you see it there. Also, a lot of questions about how to bet. Everything you should know about betting the NHL season. We're going to help you walk through it. Also, rookies to watch, best bets for player awards. Annie McNeil has got you covered. This is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid bettors as far as hockey's concerned and those that are new to the sport. That's important. It's vsin.com/subscribe. Just a quick correction as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. He's Mike Pritchard. I'm Patrick Maher. I kept on saying 51.5 for the receiving prop for CeeDee Lamb. It's 61.5. I apologize. I had it written down in my notes wrong, but I'm still okay with that. Dalton Schultz unlikely to play. 7 receptions against Cincinnati last week, Pritch, for CeeDee Lamb, but he had 11 targets. He's going to continue to be targeted against this blitz-happy defense of the Giants. 75 yards through the air as far as receiving numbers last week for CeeDee Lamb. I like him to go over that 61.5. You still cool with that?
Yeah, I'm cool with that because, I mean, I think from an offensive perspective, Dallas will try to protect Cooper Rush as opposed to have him diagnose everything. And so as long as he's comfortable and confident that everything's protected, he should be able to find CeeDee Lamb out there.
Get that ball out quick, right, with the blitz coming. Find your best receiver. That is CeeDee Lamb. Although some argue, is he a wide receiver one? We shall see as we move forward. Okay. Guest one would be Will Hill. He is a VSiN analyst, and he joins us now. And Will, thank you, first off. And you're welcome, because Dan Campbell, who is a disastrous head coach, I know that people love him because of Hard Knocks, but he handed your Minnesota Vikings a game with mismanagement in the fourth, obviously playing soft by attempting that 56-yard field goal, mismanagement of the clock, timeouts. Campbell is legitimately a disaster in game. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, it's funny. People love him because of Hard Knocks, but people also love him because, hey, he covered yesterday. He covers seemingly every game. I didn't have a problem with him kicking. I did have a problem with him kicking the field goal because I never want to go from to six. To me, it's not that big of a deal. Just go for it and end the game. Maybe even punt there. To me, the field goal, even if you go from 3-6, you got a minute change left for Minnesota. You're just asking to get beat when you go from 3-6. It doesn't do a lot for me. That was a long kick. The kid wasn't even close. I think it was Seibert. I mean, he was nowhere near it. That was, as a Viking fan, that looked familiar because that's something the Vikings would do. Both teams had plenty of opportunities. Detroit just gave that game away. That's a chance there to go to 2-1 and have a legitimate chance to be a wild card. Now I think it's going to be tough for him to lose that division game. Funny, the Bears are 2-1, the Packers, the Vikings, all 2-1. So that's a tough one for Detroit. I'm not sure how good Minnesota is. They are struggling to cover the forward pass, and they're not good enough on offense to sort of cover up for it. Cousins has been okay. He hasn't been great, but look, a win's a win. Now they get the Saints where they're favored, and they get the Bears after that. So they have a chance here to at least be a playoff team.
And they head to London, by the way. Minnesota heads to London. Pritch, I just want to give you the scenario, and you tell me what you think. 4th and 4, up 3, a minute 14 to play. The Lions on Minnesota's 36-yard line. They attempt a 56-yard field goal, as Will said, to go up 6. That's pointless. What are you going up 6 there for? And by the way, they had gone 4 of 6 on 4th down before.
Campbell immediately
after the game. Campbell immediately after the game said, "I should have gone for it there on 4th." He's in his second year. He just seems at times overmatched. But Pritch, you want to run with that for a second here?
Yeah, you know, he's too emotional. I think when you watch Hard Knocks, at least that was my takeaway from it. And knowing former players that are coaches, you know, as players, emotion, we can use emotion to our advantage, right? We need it. But as a coach, you have to be rational at times too. And you have to think things through. You have to look ahead. You have to get a theme and you have to have a feel for a game as well. And so I think for Campbell, unfortunately for the Lions, he's going through that learning process of how to put away your emotions. I mean, their emotions are good at times, maybe in the locker room before the game, maybe even at halftime, maybe even at times on a sideline. But when you need to make a key decision, you have to take emotion out of it. And for me, that's going to be hard for Campbell to do. That's going to be hard for him to be, for that to be second nature for him because he's a former player, right? And we all know how former players can get invested that way. So unfortunately for the Lions, it cost him because of that emotion level there.
Yeah, great guy, a good presence. He gets super confused in game. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Will, your Minnesota team heads to London to take on New Orleans. Winston's not a starter. We know this. He's terrible. I'm sorry.
Hurt
I don't. Whatever you want to say about Jameis Winston. But Minnesota's not very good either. I'm in a negative mood. Your team is laying 2.5 against New Orleans. What do you got here?
Boy, I would look towards taking the points, but the Saints are so beat up. It's funny. We're in week 3. These teams, there's a million injuries. You can't even keep up with all the injuries. Look what the Chargers are going through. There's so many injuries. And for the Saints, Winston's clearly not 100%. I think that back really bothered him yesterday. He was completely inaccurate. Kamara's hurt. I think Michael Thomas is hurt. So I guess I would look towards the Vikings on a money line. I would lean towards an over 44 just because the Vikings are good on offense and they cannot stop anybody on defense. They cannot guard the pass at all. So usually these London games tend to trend under from what I believe. I haven't really started on my work yet for this week, but I would look towards the over. I think the Vikings are going to be an over team this year.
Rich, maybe I'm harsh on Winston. You can start there. And then what about traveling to London with these teams?
Well, I mean, my experience, Patrick, has been traveling in the preseason for these games. And, you know, we can travel to Barcelona, Spain, and have a great time and enjoy ourselves for a week and not really think about a football game in preseason, right? Or then you could go to Japan and play against the defending Super Bowl champions. And it's a business trip. Go to Canada, too, in the preseason from Seattle because you're trying to grow the game. You're trying to grow the fan base that way. But you're really not invested in the preseason. But in the regular season, it's completely different. What you said about Jameis and that back is so true. He's got fractured bones in his back. I mean, and then the foot issue, too. I don't know why they're sticking with it that way. But Dennis Allen is staying. He's going to stick with Winston in this game. I don't have any confidence in that. And what the Saints are trying to do offensively with that situation.
Okay, I wasn't fair. I'm being a little harsh on Winston. Will, the floor is yours. Takeaways from week 3, a full Sunday. What do you got?
I mean, first of all, look, I love all the sports, baseball, basketball, football. The entertainment value of this league is just off the charts.
Every week it delivers.
The last hour of the early window, it's incredible. The last hour, 3:30 to 4:30 on the East Coast, these games, these lead changes, crazy finishes. There's nothing like this league. Even the bad games like Tampa Bay, Green Bay, which is a terrible game, the Sunday night game, Denver, San Francisco, which just made your eyes hurt. Even those games have fun finishes. It's just the entertainment value is off the charts. I think you guys talked about Buffalo, Miami. You look at the stats. How the hell did Buffalo lose that game? I would really be looking to fade Miami here on a short week after playing 90 plays in the sweltering heat in Florida. Now you got to turn around and play 3 days later. That's a really tough spot. So I would look for Cincinnati to take some money. I would bet them earlier, sooner rather than later. So that's one thing to sort of look at. The Chiefs, too. The Chiefs, look, I had the Colts plus the points, and they won straight up, so I could pat myself on the back, say what a great pick that was. The Colts had no business winning that game, covering that game. The Chiefs gave away points, missing a field goal, missing an extra point. They muffed a punt. They gave away basically two touchdowns on special teams. And then even after all that, the game's over. They sack Ryan. Ryan, look, to me, is shot. And then Chris Jones starts yapping at him, gets a 15-yard personal foul, keeps the drive alive. Essentially, he's a turnover. Colts go down and win the game. The Chiefs completely gave that game away. Now, the division's not as good as we thought, so they'll probably still win the division. I still think at minus 110, they're a good value to win that division. The Chargers, as we know, are a mess. The other two teams obviously aren't impressing you. But that was just a total giveaway by the Chiefs. And you could look back January, December. If they're not the one seed, that's a game where you can circle. They completely gave that game away yesterday.
Hey, Pritch, Will brings up a great point. Mm-hmm. Miami's defense, which was awesome, they played 90 snaps. Now they turn around short, go to Cincinnati. I'm seeing the juice on the three with Cincinnati laying it. It looks like it could be headed to 3.5. That defense is going to be gassed here, Pritch.
Yeah, they are. And again, from a preparation standpoint and the firepower, too, for Cincinnati, that could be interesting right there. But, you know, on a short week on the road this way, getting the treatment that's necessary, I don't know how they get their body back. They're not going to get their bodies back to where they want. But I do lean on modern medicine, guys. I'm here to tell you, a Toradol shot at age 29 made me feel like I was 21 again. So even on a short week, just anticipate a long line of those guys certainly trying to get some aid from the doctors that way.
Can I
get one of those shots?
Seriously, yeah, pass one over here. Now, is that, Pritch, is that the first quarter you feel great, or is that fourth quarter you're still going to be okay, or is third, fourth quarter that start to wear off and you're going to be fatigued?
Yeah, the entire game. Because it's a timely injection. Like you go through pregame warmups, and then you certainly get to a time before the game starts, before kickoff, to where you want to get that shot so it could last throughout the entire 60 minutes of the game.
William, I need a play tonight. The Giants, yes, the Giants are laying a point, hosting Cooper and the Cowboys. Total is 39. What do you got?
Are we going to live in a world where the Giants win tonight and then they play home versus the Bears next week and they're going to be 4-0? Is that possible? I would be looking at Dable, though. If you like the Giants tonight, maybe just sprinkle a little Dable coach of the year. I think he's still 8-1. Because I think that's a real scenario. I would lean towards the Giants. I would lean towards the under. My best bet would be a prop, Saquon Barkley over 23.5 receiving yards, just because I think a shaky offensive line, Micah Parsons, you got to get the ball out of your hand quick. Who can you throw it to? Just a little dump off to Barkley. Hell, he could get that in one pass, one play. So Barkley over 23.5 receiving yards.
Tremendous Will Hill, a VSiN insider, a little deep dive. By the way, it's 3 weeks since the NFL season. Have you said hi to your family over the last 3 weeks, or have you ignored them completely?
A few days ago, I said hello. Yes, absolutely.
That's nice of you. That's a great dad. Love you, Will. Talk to you next time. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for having me. Nice to see you guys.
I've got some overreactions to throw at Mike Pritchard next here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, of course, unleash the spirit of Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Also, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can convert those BetMGM points into reward points you can use towards dining, shows, hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts. Okay, sign up today. You got to be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Got you back here, Lombardi Line. One of the questions, Mike Pritchard sitting in from Michael Lombardi. Michael Lombardi will be back on Wednesday. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, we conclude week three with the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys at the Giants? Giants laying one, a total of 39. We'll get to that in just a second to conclude the show. We always get questions from people that are not native Las Vegians. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
You are. Give me three spots. If you're just going, Circa would be number one. South okay. Point's right up there as well. But three spots you like to take friends to if you're going to go watch a game there on the Strip.
Oh, watch a game. Okay, we're not talking about a female friend coming into town or something like that. We're talking about just going to hang out. Okay. Watching a game. Circa. The Westgate obviously is an experience too. Patrick, and you know what? I like the local spots. You know, you can find pretty good pubs around the city, like PT's or something like that, with a bank of TVs. Those are always interesting. But I will throw this one out there. I mean, I hope I'm not crossing any lines here, but Twin Peaks isn't a bad location either, out here in Las Vegas.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Sierra once, yeah. And all of a sudden, Pritch is taking a family show right into the gutter talking about. No, I'm just.
I didn't go there.
Do you still find yourself, even though you're born and raised, do you still find yourself on the Strip with friends at this point in your life, or do you stay away?
Oh, wow. You know, that's a great question. So I was born in South Carolina. I was raised here, though, because my dad was in the military, but I was raised here. It's interesting. I never thought at my age that I would be entertaining the Strip, because I thought my lifestyle would be different at this point. But it's tamed. I'll say that. It's tamed. But, oh, of course. I mean, you live here for certain reasons, Patrick Maher, and one of the reasons is to get down to the Strip. One of the reasons is to engage a little bit in Las Vegas.
I feel you. Circa and Stadium Swim, it's just an otherworldly experience. And, of course, the South Point, if you want to get the gritty feel of old school Vegas and sit with some sharp people, South Point's awesome as well. Mm-hmm. It's just a hell of a lot of fun during the football season. Okay.
Yeah.
Go, please finish.
No,
up
I was going to say, and you learn a lot too, like I have by being in a book. And I got that advice from Matt Humans and some other people here at the network in terms of just trying to flatten that learning curve. Just go hang out in a book and talk to some betters, man. Talk to some people and you'll get a wealth of knowledge that way. And so for the people that live outside of Vegas, I mean, certainly in your state, hopefully they have some betting, some sports betting and some books. And, you know, just go hang out for an hour or two. Necessarily have to bet, but go hang out, meet people and kind of get a better understanding on what's going on.
Yeah, just eavesdrop on the conversations because mm-hmm. you're going to learn some stuff. And
right. That
kind of brings us full circle where the show started today. I learned from the book as well in Michigan, except the bookmaker was an illegal bookmaker, but I wasn't listening to the bettors. And that's mm-hmm. important because the bookmaker was making the money and he would just tell me, when in doubt, bet on the dogs and bet the unders. Avoid teasers and parlays for the most part. Well, this season through almost 3 weeks of the NFL season, the dogs 26-18-2, so they're cashing a little over 59%, Pritch, mm-hmm. and the unders are ridiculously cashing at a 63% clip. So that's just that. We'll get to the game tonight and get an official play from Mike Pritchard coming up. Okay, is it an overreaction to say that Jalen Hurts is the MVP front runner right now? Because what he's doing is ridiculous. By the way, he's leading the league in average as far as yards per attempt. He is absolutely been accurate, which was the question. What's your thoughts on Hurts here?
Is that overreaction? I mean, I would say so. Look at what Lamar Jackson is doing too, though, right? And the constant, though, between those two teams is the fact that you have six eligibles on offense, and that's what the league has turned into. It's college football, to a certain extent, utilizing the quarterback position differently than what we've seen and what we're accustomed to. You know, the front runners for MVP, look at Josh Allen. You know, he's the ability offensively to get to six eligibles that way too. So Jalen Hurts, what he's doing is perplexing defenses right now, and they're executing at a high level. I think Lamar Jackson turning into a pocket passer, if you will. Now, it's not Tom Brady-esque. It's not Aaron Rodgers that way, but it is a pocket passer that's opening up the ability for him to do some damage with his legs in a rushing game. And we saw that in back-to-back weeks too. So I think it's an overreaction. Jalen Hurts is fantastic, but don't sleep on what Lamar Jackson has turned into as quarterback.
You nailed it. It is an overreaction. Lamar Jackson is the MVP. He is ahead of his pace when he won the MVP a couple of years back. He's got 10 touchdowns through the air. He just ran for another 100 yards on the ground. He's done that in back-to-back games. He's got 2 rushing touchdowns. Lamar Jackson is playing out of his freaking mind right now,
right,
Rich.
Right. He really is, because of the evolution of Lamar Jackson becoming that pocket passer. You're sitting back there because you got this guy in a pocket, but now all of a sudden he takes off and runs, or they have designs plays for him too, and he's just breaking your back out there defensively. So, Lamar Jackson, the start to this year, the motivation that he has to get that contract that he wants, that he's coveting, is very, very interesting. It sets up to have a spectacular year as well for that football team.
Okay, next one up with Mike Pritchard, our NFL insider here on VSiN. Is it an overreaction to say that the Jacksonville Jaguars are the best team in the South, AFC?
Oh, man. I don't want to overreact, but I love what they're doing. I love what they turned into. I mean, I'm talking to friends, the syndicate, Patrick, about ATN.
Yeah, your boys.
Yeah, ATN looks like – now, I'm not comparing him. I'll throw that out there. I'm not comparing him. But he looks like and reminds me of Marshall Faulk, right? And look, I don't know if he's going to have that type of career, but he just that comfort on the field for Trevor Lawrence is changing everything. It's no different than Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, right? And I think if that has a chance to turn into something special, keep your eye on it. And then what Trevor Lawrence is turning into too, keep your eye on it. But defensively, I think Peterson has done a fantastic job. Mike Caldwell, the defense coordinator, unbelievable job with the personnel that he has on that side of the ball right now. So I don't want to overreact, but I can't help myself right now. I can't say it's an overreaction, Patrick. I can't get there, man.
Okay. How about this one? One team since 2000 has made the playoffs after starting 0-3. Listen, I understand we now have 17 games instead of 16, but the Raiders have started 0-3. Is it an overreaction to say the Raiders season is over?
Oh, man. It has the beginnings that their season is over. Because outside of calling out their own players, outside of having a team meeting like Cleveland had, Patrick, they need to have one of those hash-out situations. Because you have players making a lot of money not producing in a consistent way. And that's what's plagued the Raiders. They could be 2-1 easily. But they could be 3-0 as well. So they have to play a complete football game. It's not about the coaches. It's not about scheme. It's not about any of that. It's really about themselves completing 60 minutes of football. And they got a struggling football team coming to town at their place. They should get a victory here. But as far as the playoffs, I don't know if this team is capable of fixing themselves that way yet. So, yeah, here's another one where, you know, I don't think it's an overreaction suggesting that the Raiders are not going to make the playoffs.
DraftKings right now, your boy Mike McDaniel, cowabunga. He is your second betting favorite to win Coach of the Year at 5-1. Uh-huh. Nick Sirianni, 4-1. Overreaction to say McDaniel has a legit shot here?
Overreaction, yeah. I mean, I think the league will catch up to him a little bit. We haven't seen that yet. They've been so fortunate so far through three games. The injuries with Buffalo, I'm not making excuses. I don't do that. The collapse with the Ravens, that's their own fault. They capitalized on it, 28 points. By the way, I forget the number, what, 711 teams in one in terms of having a fourth quarter lead by 21 points and you and you lose it. And there you go for the Ravens. So that's the fortune there for Miami. And then the first game of the year too. So I think the league eventually catches up to McDaniel out there in Miami.
Okay, it's not an official play, but let me get a lean tonight. The Giants, Monday Night Football, closing out Week 3, are laying a point, and the total is 39, Pritch.
I can't get to the Cowboys. I can't get to the Giants. I like Saquon Barkley and his over-prop situations, receiving and rushing, actually. And then the one that you threw out, CeeDee Lamb, 61. Is it 61.5?
Yeah, 61.5.
Yeah, that's not a bad prop either.
Okay, Saquon, 22.5 receiving. 78.5 rush, go over. Pritch, it's always an honor to work with you. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Patrick. Always enjoy it.
Okay, Michael will be back on Wednesday. Big Bets with Dave and Amal next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.